Welcome to the Seminarian Roundtable with Bishop Robert J. Brennan on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. My name is David Martin, and I'll be moderating today's roundtable discussion. This Seminarian Roundtable is being recorded on Tuesday of Holy Week as Bishop Brennan and the seminarians are preparing for the Chrism Mass at St. Joseph Cathedral. The Chrism Mass manifests the communion of the priests with Bishop Brennan, where the priests will renew their pledge of obedience, and where Bishop Brennan will bless three sacred oils that will be used throughout the Diocese of Columbus this year: the oil of catechumens, the oil of the infirm or the sick, and the Holy Chrism. In the room with us today are 30 seminarians for the Diocese of Columbus who are studying at the Pontifical College Josephinum right here in Worthington off of Route 23. The seminarians are at different stages in their formation. And now I introduce to you Bishop Robert J. Brennan, who is installed as the 12th Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus at St. Joseph's Cathedral on March 29, 2019. Bishop Brennan has been very busy since his installation, celebrating Holy Mass, confirming our youth, visiting with families, priests, and parishes, and has even been spotted at the recent softball game with the seminarians. Bishop Robert J. Brennan.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. Good to join all of you out in Radio Land. Thanks for tuning in with us. And seminarians, it's great to be with you once again. I have enjoyed meeting so many of you, and I am impressed by all of you, and I'm impressed by the number of guys we have. So we're off to a really good start together. Thank you. Maybe we can pray together? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Lord God, we ask you to look upon us as we seek to know you, to love you, to serve you by telling others all about you. We ask you, especially as we prepare for this Chrism Mass, to renew our zeal, to deepen our longing for you, and to help us to walk in the steps of the humble Christ, the joyful Christ, the merciful Christ. We bring all of our prayers and our hopes together, and we pray as he taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we're recording this on Tuesday afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. And I want to start. I'm going to read to you a letter that I got soon after I arrived here. I'm only going to read portions of it. I'm going to leave names and references out. But it's a young person, a sixth grader, and he says, I have served more than 200 times in the last 2 years. I feel I have a call to more than just serving. I think God is calling me to the priesthood. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will enlighten my mind to see God's path that he has placed for me. I don't know for sure what my path, should I become a priest? And if so, which order should I join? Bishop Brennan, do you have any advice to me on how to find your vocation? I want to make the right choice and to do God's will. So, who has some advice that they can give to my friend? I need somebody who could give me some advice in terms of discerning a vocation at a young age. Yes,
sure. Seth. Yes, Your Excellency. My name is Seth Keller. I'm from St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. And the first thing I would say is that if you want to know the plan of God, you have to know God. And, of course, the fullness of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. And so in order to begin to know one's vocation, one has to develop a deep, loving relationship with the Lord Jesus, especially by meditating, I think, on the Gospels. So I guess to put it simply, I would say that we have to start to get to know the Lord by the Scriptures, especially the Gospels. So I would urge anyone discerning priesthood or religious life to really focus on the Lord and his actions and his words in the Gospels, and to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten them as they read and as they pray, that they would be able to learn who is this Jesus and be able to experience his love.
That's great advice, Seth. That's wonderful advice, to know Jesus Christ. And I agree with you. The Gospels are the great entry point. We can read all kinds of things, but to read Jesus, the actual encounter with Jesus Christ, great work. Who can I turn to here? Michael.
Yes, Bishop. This is Michael Fulton from St. John Newman in Sunbury. I agree with everything my classmate just said. And something that a seminarian once told me is the first step towards becoming a good Catholic priest is becoming a good Catholic man, because if you're not one, you're not going to be the other. So to grow in that, in your Catholicism, in that strong prayer, in serving, not just at the Mass, but serving around your parish, meeting regularly with your priest, you're going to know if you want to be a priest the more and more you're around priests. So meet as many priests as you can. And, of course, stay close to Our Lady, because the early apostles had all the grace that they could, and they stayed close to her as well.
That's terrific. You know, I'm here a short time, and I've met some really fine priests. I get the impression we have some great priests right here in this Diocese of Columbus. Good. Thank you, Michael. Yes, please.
Yes, Bishop. My name is David England from Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish. And I think one thing that's really important is, What do you dream about? This can change from time to time, but if you feel a deep desire in your heart, you begin like dreaming of being a priest or whatever vocation it is, that could be an indication that that would be a step that God is calling you to make. Not necessarily like end all be all, but I mean, that would be unreal. But the if God wants you to do something, it's going to be something that you're made for and that you love. And if you feel a love and a desire and, you know, a dream, an adventure for something, I think that's a really good first step.
Good. Very good. You know who had similar advice? St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Really?
That's right. He when he was injured, he wanted to be a soldier. He wanted to all the courtly grandeur, right? And he would read all these books of chivalry and adventure. And he said when he was injured, he would read those and he felt good. But then when he'd read the lives of the saints, that he felt good too. But the difference was one was fading and the other just kept staying with him. What do you dream about? That's really good. I like that. So there's another answer here. Okay. Yes.
Yes, Bishop. I'm Joey Rollwing from the Church of the Resurrection in New Albany. I think I'd just like to reinforce something that Michael said about staying close to Our Lady. I think that probably it's the case for all of us in this room that Mary just played a huge role in our discernment and has continued to guide us through seminary. And, you know, the God of the universe chose to come to us through this beautiful, perfect, Blessed Virgin Mary, and he wants us to come to him through her as well. So I would just encourage anyone who's discerning the priesthood to stay as close as he can to Mary, perhaps incorporate a daily or a weekly rosary into his prayer routine to meditate on the Gospels, like Seth said, with the Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. I think behind every, especially in the case of the priesthood, behind every great man, there's normally an even greater woman. So Mary for us in many cases is that woman who helps us to become the best Christian disciples we can be.
Well said, Joey. Well said. Thank you. Good. We've got some great advice. We'll have to get back to my friend here. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm hoping he's listening. And, you know, moving to young people in general, some of you said things about being a good Christian man, a good Christian person. I meet with the confirmation students before confirmation, and they just tell me a little bit about themselves, and it's usually a lot of fun. And depending on the time that we have, I ask about the names. And this one young lady in eighth grade told me she chose Mary because her aunt had told her once that when she's afraid, when she's nervous, to ask Mary to wrap her in her mantle.
her cloak, and that's always worked for her. And so that's why she chose the name Mary. How about, you know, young people? As long as we're good at giving advice, I'm getting some great advice here. It's got to be tough to be a young person in the world today. You know, on the one hand, you have the secular tide, and you're constantly going against it. At the other hand, you might have people who criticize you for who you are and for what you believe. Any advice for young people trying to sort their way through the world today? Deacon Chris.
Bishop Brennan, this is Deacon Chris Yackel from St. Joseph's Cathedral. I think as I kind of reflect on my experience growing up, I think one thing that was definitely helpful in terms of living out my faith life is finding peers who are also striving to live out their faith, who are striving to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And I think as I reflect, especially on college, but even in high school as well, definitely having others who are striving for the same goal helps to kind of keep you on track and to encourage you as well. Because there definitely are times where you'll encounter classmates who will kind of criticize you or give you a hard time for your faith. But when you have also friends who are going to build you up and encourage you, who are also kind of experiencing those same things, that is definitely helpful when you're trying to grow in your faith at a young age, I think. So that's one of the things that comes to mind right away.
That is good advice. You know, that's really the basis of World Youth Day. Sometimes you feel so isolated, but then when you're around a million other people, that does the trick for you, doesn't it? David.
Yes, David Johnstone from Our Lady of Lourdes in Marysville. Pope St. John Paul II, in his letter on the Rosary, mentioned that the family is the key to many things in our life. But one of the things that is a major distraction, and he's writing in 2002, is the television. And even more so today, we have smartphones, cell phones. We have
who's watching television anymore?
Yeah,
really. You're right.
So we have a lot of distractions that keep us focused on ourselves and on the external. So if we can put those aside and we can interact with people on a non-superficial level, I think that's one of the ways that we really grow as people and as a family, and that'll really help our culture a lot.
That's good. That's good. Very good. Some of you have told me about your own journey of kind of coming back, maybe having been a little bit, I don't want to pry into anyone's real personal life, but anyone want to share something, experience of coming back to the faith?
Bishop, this is Deacon P.J. Brandy-Marty from St. Matthew's in Gahanna. This is my second crack at seminary. The first one was in Pittsburgh, where I grew up, and didn't work out. And for whatever reason, when I left seminary the first time, I also left the practice of the faith, and it was a very gradual thing. It wasn't intended. I got a great job. I was working, and I was young. I had money, and church became less and less important. And once church became less important, God became less important. And it took moving to Ohio for work, being sent out here, changing jobs, and really being alone with myself to realize how I was in my early 20s. I had a great job. I had money. I had everything I thought I wanted, and I still wasn't fulfilled in any way. And it was actually through Catholic radio, listening to that as I drove around Ohio for my work when I worked for Motorola, that really led me back to the practice of the faith and allowed me to find a church near my house. And we had a great pastor there who became vocations director, Father Noble. We have a great pastor there currently who used to be a vocations director, Father Sill. And they both really helped me not only on the path to coming back to the practice of the faith and growing in zeal for it, but coming to be a seminarian, and now a deacon, and God willing, in a couple weeks, a priest. And it's a joyous thing, and it requires only two things. It requires love, and it requires commitment. And if you're able to do those two things, then you'll succeed.
Excellent. Excellent. Another hand. Yes. Anthony.
Yes, Bishop. Anthony Pinto from St. Vincent de Paul in Mount Vernon. Actually, piggybacking off both what Deacon Brandomarty and Michael Fulton said, I think it takes becoming a better Christian man brings you back into the faith. For myself, I lived a life that I think a lot of people would realize you're just chasing a dream, you know, the American dream, so to speak. Money, house, cars, it doesn't matter what it is. For me, it took two elements, and I think it also goes to vocations. Get to know sisters, nuns, communities, because that's what it took for me. Falling into working with the Missionaries of Charity and realizing, taking myself out of it, giving service to others, realizing that there is something beyond me in this world, because I think a lot of us get stuck in that trap until somebody really jolts us. And, of course, God is waking us up every single day saying, come to me. So I think that's what it takes, realizing that it isn't about us. It is about God. It's about service to all of our brothers and sisters, to realize our vocation to him, whether that's through marriage or the priesthood, but ultimately will lead you back to your faith and service. That's the advice I would give.
Great advice. Thank you. Our young people have great role models in all of you, so we thank you for sharing.
You are listening to Seminarians Roundtable with Bishop Robert J. Brennan on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We'll be right back after this brief commercial break.
Sarah clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for vocations.
O God, who wills not the death of a sinner, but rather that he be converted and live, grant, we beseech you, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, St. Joseph, her spouse, St. Junipero Serra, and all the saints, an increase of laborers for your church, fellow laborers with Christ, to spend and consume themselves for souls. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
For information on the Sarah Clubs in the Diocese of Columbus, go to saracolumbus.org. That's S-E-R-R-A, Columbus.org.
Most of us can recall a childhood memory of innocence and a peace that only comes from God. Yet with our busy schedules today, many families don't attend church weekly or spend much time teaching their children about God. So many families now are burdened by financial and family challenges, substance abuse, and other worries. But there is hope. Studies show that people who pray regularly and practice their Christian faith are less stressed, financially stable, more compassionate, optimistic, healthier, and happier. Experience a positive difference in your life and for your family by coming home to your parish. Learn more by visiting CatholicsComeHome.org today. Here you may find answers to your questions and discover how Jesus and the sacraments will bless your family. There's no pressure or risk. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Do it for your kids. Do it for yourself. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
A prayer for the St. Gabriel Radio Ministry. We thank you for the ministry of St. Gabriel's Radio and for the grace to boldly proclaim the gospel truths so the ordinary moments in each listener's life may be transformed by the truths heard. Bless, strengthen, and free our listeners from all fear. Give them a spirit of generosity so they may be part of this ministry through their prayer and sacrificial offerings, so the needs of this ministry may be abundantly met and the work of this ministry may continue through them, with them, and for them. May St. Gabriel Catholic Radio continue to honor you and shine with your glory. May it be a voice that speaks your uncompromised truth with love. May it proclaim Christ so many are brought into the kingdom and all who listen will find peace of heart and lasting joy.
One way to grow in friendship with your spouse is to pursue a common goal. Maybe this means taking on a hobby to spend intentional time together. but it could also mean discerning a call to serve together. Is there something God is asking you to do or to give as a couple? Pay attention to the needs of your community and pray for God's guidance. He will show you. This daily marriage tip is brought to you by the Marriage and Family Life Office of the Columbus Diocese.
Hello, I'm Deacon P.J. Brandimarty from St. Matthew the Apostle Parish in Gahanna, Ohio. Welcome back to the Seminarian Roundtable with Bishop Robert J. Brennan on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
Deacon Brandimarty, I was with you the other day for a confirmation at St. Matthew, and they actually invited me back.
I told them to, so I'm glad someone listens to me.
Well, you know what happened? I tell them at the confirmation that they're missionaries. I asked them to be missionaries and to bring people to encounter Christ. So they got right to it, and they started with me. And they were doing the Living Stations of the Cross this morning, part of Holy Week, and they were just telling me about it beforehand and saying, you would like it. And then after, when I was talking with some of them, they kept saying, you really ought to come. So guess what? This morning I was there, and they were fantastic. It was really impressive. But the other thing in the news is a little bit on the sadder side. I've been approached by a couple of the media people here in Columbus about the fire at Notre Dame yesterday. I'm not sure why my opinion really counts. One priest said, just tell them you're against it, the fire. But it really is, all kidding aside, it really is a tragedy of sorts. I'd like to get some of your reaction to all that we've been hearing in the news the last day and a half. Anyone have something? Yes, we're going to pass the mic to Christopher Crum.
Yes, Bishop, this is Christopher Crum from Resurrection Parish in New Albany. I followed the fire on a live stream after I first heard that it started. And I think one of the beautiful things that have come of it is as you watch these streams, as they pan over the city of Paris, you see thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people sitting there. And then other videos have come out of those people who are sitting there praying, singing hymns, and they're all mourning the loss of this great cathedral, this building. But I think at the same time, it's bringing them back to thinking about their faith. And some of them maybe have fallen away from the faith. And this tragedy, in a way, has brought them back to the faith, brought them back to thinking about the important things of God and their relationship with God. And this building, in a way, symbolizes the faith of the French people. So when they say, we will rebuild, it's not just the building that they're going to rebuild, but it's also going to be the faith and the Church of France that will rebuild.
That's really quite profound. I'm impressed. Thank you. That's very, very good. Yes, Michael.
This is Michael from St. John Newman again. Reflecting on Notre Dame burning down, earlier this year, my classmates and I were able to go to Rome and visit the major basilicas there. And my most favorite of all of the ones that we visited was St. Paul Outside the Wall, which is absolutely gorgeous. It's one of the original basilicas of the city, and it's very ancient, very beautiful. But it burned down about 100 years ago. And I mean, obviously, the technology that built it the first time wasn't around. Like, they didn't have the same technology or the same techniques, but they were able to rebuild it almost from memory, and it looks just as beautiful, if not better. And so, as discouraging as it is, I mean, the ability to rebuild it is there, and the willingness is there, too.
That's great. Well said. Well said. Shane.
Hi, Bishop. Yeah, this is Shane Garrity from St. Patrick's downtown. Sort of just piggybacking off of what Chris said, I thought about... Well, first of all, it was Holy Week, so I was trying to fast yesterday, and then this happened, and I was like, well, this is just the icing on the cake. My day was already bad. but then, and you know, I the very first thing I saw was the flames, and it was sad. But the second thing that I saw in the little queue of the videos that people had taken was they were showing that hundreds, if not thousands, of French people were down on their knees praying their rosary and singing the Ave Maria. And I was like, wow, you know, that's there's something there. Like, it's very sad, but it's really brought the community together. And then, as we were just discussing on the break today, I mean, they were renovating, and that's what they think caused this, was just the construction issue. But there was something about them having issues getting funds together and stuff. And then today we heard something like over $500 million has been raised to bring it back. And it's really united the people, I think. So that was amazing.
And that's what a lot of the cathedrals in Europe were really meant to do. What would happen is a cathedral would be built and then a community would be formed around it. And the cathedral itself would lift people's sights to God. So in a sense, this is a 21st century reimagining of that possibility of the rebuilding of a cathedral, rebuilding a society. Well said.
Yes,
Anthony.
Anthony Pinto again from Mount Vernon. Notre Dame holds a very special place in my heart, and especially my mother's heart. She actually had myself and my two other siblings consecrated there in 95 or 94, something like that. So, you know, we were all together on the phone at least talking about it, and my mother was just praying, and I think there's a lot of hope, though, and a lot of God's grace, because the one thing my mother thought was the relics, you know, all the things that could be lost. And as we learned this morning, you know, so many of the precious relics were saved, if not all of them, I'm not exactly sure. But also, I thought it was amazing how every newspaper in the country today opened up with an image of a gold cross, mm-hmm. you know, across the world today. I mean, that's what we saw. We saw gold, you know, Christ literally shining. In you know, out of the ashes, which was just absolutely incredible. So there was a beautiful message. It also shows our prayers were heard, you know, mm-hmm. everyone's prayers. The cathedral was not burned to the ground. It is
That's
salvageable.
Right. It is beautiful. Gordon.
Excellency. Gordon Mott from St. Agnes Parish on the west side. As I was watching the live feeds and reading the reports, I couldn't help but one of my favorite passages in Scripture comes out of the Gospel of John, the light shines in the darkness which has not overcome it. And there's kind of a contemporary twist on this. My generation, I grew up with Fred Rogers and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, right? And in the wake of one of our national disasters, his message to young people was, look for the helpers, you know? And in the midst of all of this opportunity to mourn the loss of this beautiful building and all this great art, I found this report. The chaplain for the firemen, a good Catholic priest whose name escapes me right now, had actually formed a human chain with several dozen faithful because the smoke inside was so dense there was no hope of going in there and trying to rescue anything without. It was the fact that these people linked arms and then navigated that the relics in at Notre Dame were able to be saved. And my understanding is that they saved pretty much all of them. Mm-hmm. So all of the faithful coming together to navigate the darkness, you know, that this light, the light of their hope and their dedication, just piercing it, you know, it's very moving to me.
Very well said. You know, I kind of regret next time I speak to the news cameras, I'm going to need to have all of you around me. You know, and thank you. You gave me a segue. The other group of people I've been praying for, I think we've all been praying for yesterday with concern and today with gratitude, were all of the emergency personnel who responded. I know that we were all praying for the firemen involved, all the safety people who really risked everything to do that, and to save the cathedral. But they did that there in Paris yesterday because that's what they do all the time, isn't it? And isn't that what so many police officers, our firefighters, so many good people here in Columbus do for us all the time? Look for the helpers. That's really well said. And I'm glad you gave me that chance to say that. Yes, you know, it's also kind of poignant in kind of a tragic way, but it's kind of poignant that this happened on the Monday of Holy Week, isn't it? And yesterday the thought was, well, you know, something in us has died. and yet there's resurrection. And yet there's resurrection. And it reminds us, you know, again, cathedrals lift our eyes, our sights up higher. But even this, we're not made for this world. And it's not the buildings, it's not the mortar and the bricks, but there's something deeper, something more profound, something eternal. And that's what you are all of you are dedicating your life to that. All of you are dedicating your life to the eternal. Yeah. So thank you for that. Speaking of cathedrals and of the, we have our own celebration today of the Chrism Mass. Now, some of the deacons who are here, the chrism that I will bless at Mass today will be used to anoint your hands in service of the gospel. Yes, well, please pass Deacon Chris the microphone.
Yes, Bishop, Deacon Chris from the cathedral. I was actually just thinking about this the other day because I had the opportunity to do some baptisms, and of course we had the chrism oils out for that, and I was just thinking, oh my goodness, like here I am anointing these babies, but this is going to be happening to me so soon for the ordination to the priesthood, and it's just something very exciting to think about. Obviously, it's a little intimidating, too, to realize, I guess, the magnitude of the ministry that you're about to enter into. But with that, realizing that it is God who has called us to this, and that he's going to give us the graces that we certainly will need to serve him and to serve his people. But yeah, very exciting thinking that with the Chrism Mass tonight that that sacred chrism is going to be used on us in just a few weeks from now.
Bishop Deacon Brandy Marty again. You know, I finished my last paper this morning.
Wow, that's big.
So I was sitting in my room at the Josephinum, and I'm the only one there because for various reasons, I'm the rectory at St. Matthias where I'm assigned is under construction, so there's not enough room to have me there. So I'm the only one at the Josephinum. I just finished my last paper, and I moved out of the Josephinum. I moved almost all my stuff out. So I'm sitting in this bare room looking at my computer and thinking, well, we're getting there, aren't we? And then I honestly hadn't even considered it until you pointed out that today when I hand you the balsam that you're going to pour into that oil, and I'll just shortly over a month after that, that oil will be on my hands, and I'll be a servant of the people of the Diocese of Columbus as a priest. And it's very humbling, and it's almost overwhelming, except that it's not, because everything and it truly isn't, because everything that God has given to me in my life has allowed me to come to this, and there's nothing I can do that is going to make myself great or make the people of God great. What I can do is I can bring them the Word of God, and that will make God's greatness known to them. And it's just thinking about the oil and thinking about the fact that these hands that are now mine, they are currently mine, will very shortly not be mine anymore. It's very humbling. And it's very confirming, and I'm not sure that I can say any more.
That's actually, you said wonderful. Quite a bit. I appreciate it. In the right way. I mean, there was a lot of material in a few words. No, that was really well said. Deacon
and
Chris.
I just want to throw out there, if I could ask the people of Columbus to pray for me, because I still have many papers to go. I haven't been quite as diligent as Deacon Brandemar.
You are not at the last paper. We have another deacon over here, Deacon Kyle.
Yes, Bishop. Deacon Kyle Tennant from St. Monica Parish in New Boston, one of the four members of the Scioto County Catholic Consortium.
I was in Scioto County. I feel very proud of that. What
on
a
purpose
beautiful
were you
part
lost
of the diocese.
It is a beautiful part. Four parishes, one family. There's a lot of thoughts going through my head in connection with especially this Chrism Mass, because it's not only the blessing of the sacred chrism and the other oils, but also the priests tonight will stand before you, their bishop, for the first time and reaffirm their profession of obedience to you, their promise of obedience to you. And I was thinking the other day, I was going for a run over in Westerville, and I was just thinking about the fact that this isn't Kyle the priest going out there, you know, to save the world, you know, one soul at a time or whatever. I really am becoming part of an order. You know, it's an ordination, incorporation into a body that already exists, and it has existed just fine without me for the last 2,000 years and would have existed just fine without me. And so there's a sense of the, Pope Benedict would call the law of the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies, that becomes the part of something that's larger than just what is contained within that single grain. And to the prospect of losing my identity, as Deacon Brandimarty was just referring to, losing my identity within that greater order of the presbyterate is precisely where I will find, you know, my true identity, where the mission, as many of the seminarians have discussed with the idea of vocation, the mission that God has called me to from my birth and even from before my birth, in service to the people of God. And the other aspect that immediately occurs to mind is, you know, all of the different levels of symbolism of oil and anointing that have been used throughout this the millennia. But the fact that it's your palms, you know, where Christ was transfixed to the cross, with his palms, through his palms, the hands that bless, the hands that hold the Blessed Sacrament as it's being consecrated, the aspects of the oil in connection with the body of Christ, which was anointed with oil after his own death. So very much for me, the idea of sacrifice and, as you alluded to earlier, resurrection after that death, the newness of life that will come about as a result of this ordination. It's really overwhelming, like my classmates have said. It's really beautiful to think about that.
I am sitting here in the midst of great holiness and great enthusiasm. What great answers, and I'm going to be proud. This is my first ordination. Actually, I'll be ordaining deacons, and then you'll be the first priest I ordain, and I'm just so proud and happy that I'm able to do that.
You're listening to the Seminarian Roundtable with Bishop Robert J. Brennan on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. We'll be right back after this brief commercial break.
SARA clubs throughout the world pray for and support the priesthood and consecrated religious life. Please join in our prayer for the perseverance of vocations.
O God, you have constituted your only begotten Son, supreme and eternal priest, for the glory of your majesty and the salvation of mankind. Grant that those whom he has chosen ministers and dispensers of his mysteries may be found faithful in fulfilling the ministry they have received. Amen.
For information on the two SARA clubs in the Diocese of Columbus and the ways in which we promote vocations to the priesthood and consecrated religious life, go to saracolumbus.org. That's SERRA Columbus.org.
I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me.
I might have gone to church, you know, at Christmas time, gradually quit going.
No, I didn't take my faith seriously, which probably means I never really got it to begin with.
You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home, but if you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there.
We are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust, especially as a man, but there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. Thank God I'm home.
Now that I'm back in the Catholic Church, I'm a new person. I love it.
There's peace in our home that we didn't have before.
You're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Did you know that your body has a theology?
Theology of the Body, or TOB, refers to the 134 reflections on the body written by Pope John Paul II. He read these reflections to those who came to his Wednesday audience in St. Peter's Square in Rome during his papacy. One might ask, why study how God reveals himself through the human body? It's simple. John Paul didn't want us to forget the importance and sacredness of our bodies. We are made in the image and likeness of God, a unique, irreplaceable, unrepeatable being made by love, for love, to love. The theology of the body is a total vision of who man is and who he is called to be. For more on the theology of the body, please visit us at creativecatholicworks.org.
A reading from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God, yet if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us.
Hello, I'm Theodore Madrid from St. Patrick Parish. Welcome back to the Seminarian Roundtable with Bishop Robert J. Brennan on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio.
Glad to be back. Now, let's segue from the papers and asking people to pray for you with what you have left to the general group here. Tell us a little bit about life in the seminary. Who would like to share what life in the seminary is like at the Josephinum especially?
Frank Brown, St. Michael's Parish in Worthington. Seminary life is definitely a blessing. You get to meet a lot of great people. And personally, I like to thank the people of God, especially for their support in the bishop's annual appeal. Much of that money goes towards our education, and we can't thank you enough for the opportunity to learn more and grow in our faith in hopes to better serve the diocese. The thing about seminary is they provide a lot of opportunities, pastoral opportunities, and there's a lot of fraternity that goes on. But at the same time, if we can go back to our friend, the sixth grader, my heart definitely goes out to him because that's a blessing to have or see that you might have that vocation. But at the same time, being in sixth grade, that's a long wait, you know. And my heart goes out to him for that because being in seminary for 5 years now, patience is definitely a challenge. We all come into seminary with the intent of ministry, and so that waiting process can be definitely challenging. You know, it's... You want to get put in the game. Put me in the game, coach. I'm tired of being on the side.
Tell me, I guess at the Josephinum, at least, there are three divisions, I would imagine, right? So you have the college,
pre-theology, and theology.
And theology. So typically a man would begin college there to get his undergraduate degree. That would be the college. Otherwise, it might have. Go ahead.
Or you're someone like me who went to college after high school somewhere else, and you're a late vocation as I am, mm-hmm. and then you enter in seminary to earn the first 2 years to earn a degree in philosophy.
And you have a strong you have a strong background in philosophy, whether you're in the college or in pre-theology, and that helps you build on theology. And then it's 4 years of academic study in preparation for priesthood. Now, it's not all classroom, is it? Tell me. It's not all classroom. Somebody in the back? Let's see. Over here. All right. Michael.
Yes, I'm Michael Hammerly from St. Patrick's in Columbus. We do have our studies, which are very important. But we also have to be well-rounded people. So, you know, some days your paper is supposed to get put off so you can go play soccer with your brothers. You know, and all of that takes second place to your relationship with God and spending time in prayer. So that, you know, the prayer is really what takes the forefront in the seminary formation. And then, you know, your studies and your just formation as a human being. So we play a lot of sports. We hang out with our brothers quite a bit. And we have a lot of fun at the seminary.
Excellent. I've seen some of that.
Yes, yeah, at our softball tournament.
You had your softball tournament. And it was the pre-theology who reigned at that one?
Yes, we did. We beat the college.
Very good. We have another we have an answer. Yes.
Yes, Bishop. Jake Asuncion from St. Vincent's in Mount Vernon, just as Anthony Pinto. And just to echo Michael Hamerly as well, the spiritual formation is very important to us. I mean, all of us have to wake up at like 6:40, or basically at 6 o'clock just to be at morning prayer at 6:45. Though it's really hard to get up, it also reminds us that we're praying together. We're chanting Laud's morning prayer together. And then we have daily mass as well. So it's so awesome to like reflect on the gospels with each other, but to also be in communion as we, you know, sit together, we're at mass and we see the consecration, our Lord like coming down, being present in the Eucharist, and to receive him as well as our spiritual nourishment for us. We also have holy hour as well in the evening. That starts about like 4:45. And a lot of us also pray together in the holy hour. Like we sit there in silence, and we just like ask the Lord to just guide us, help us in our discernment. It's also pray our rosaries for our Blessed Mother, that we give our vocation to her and that she gives it to her son. Then we have evening prayer afterwards. We also chant that. So it's just great to be in communion, to pray with each other, and to remind ourselves that we're not by ourselves on this. Like, we have a lot of men that are challenging each other, that are asking us to pray with each other as well. So it's just great to just like pray with these guys, to get to know them even more.
You know, I was very impressed. I had the chance to celebrate Mass at the Josephinum not long ago, and the beauty of the sacred liturgy and the care that each of you gives to that is really quite moving. So good for you. Yes, Gordon.
Excellency, Gordon Mott again from St. Agnes on the West Side. So while our academic studies are important, and while our liturgical studies are definitely of utmost importance, the church and the Director for the Life and Ministry of Priests and in the Program for Priestly Formation also state that another importance is that the priest is to be what it cites as a master of humanity, which is a strange turn of phrase, but simply it means that we should be well-rounded, and that we should be able to meet people well, really and truly where they are. And so that's one of the most important parts of our formation is the Apostolic Works Program, which is where we go out once a week and we do something related to priestly ministry. So we go out and we pray with the youth groups, or we pray with the sick, or, you know, we go out there and we do catechesis with adults or catechesis with kids, or we visit prisons. And that's always edifying, because the seminary can edify, but it's our Lord and his holy people that sanctify.
That's right. Oh, you guys are well-rounded. I've discovered that. That's good. Yes, the pastoral. Talk about the pastoral a little bit. What are some of the pastoral opportunities that you've been enjoying?
Bishop, Deacon Brandy Marty again. So since I've had the full gamut of seminary, I can talk about a wide variety of pastoral experiences. So this, your deacon year, you're at a parish and you're doing deacon things, but they really, really spread you around at the Josephinum. So my first assignment was teaching. I went to Catholic high school, Bishop Waterston, once a week, and helped teach in the school. The next 2 years were youth ministry, both at middle school and high school levels. After that, Deacon Yackel and I were at the OSU Newman Center for a year, and we worked with college youth ministry, and that was very rewarding. The year after that, your second year of theology, you go on a hospital rotation, and it just so happened that I was assigned to Riverside, and for whatever reason, when we broke everything up, I was always on the ICU floor, and I was always on the NICU floor, which is the neonatal intensive care unit. So it was a blessing to be with people who were at the end of their lives and people who were enjoying the beginning of new life. And then my favorite assignment was third year of theology when I was on the radio with AM 820. I got to talk into this microphone once a week for two whole semesters. So it's a wide variety of experiences that really help prepare you for the type of things you do, because as I'm sure you know, as a priest, well, I know you know, no day is going to be planned out. You can get a phone call at any time, and every day it's different. You're going to someone's house, you're going to the school, you're going to the church, you're going to visit someone in the hospital. So it's important to be flexible, and it's important to have a wide variety of experiences.
Good, good. Seth.
Yes, Your Excellencies. This is Seth again from St. Patrick's. I kind of wanted to highlight a sort of different aspect of the pastoral, I guess. Of course, as Deacon Brandon already said, we have ample opportunities through the seminary to learn different skills, to have different experiences that will help us as priests, you know, for example, in the hospital and working with young people. But in a sense, some of that, it's interesting because you're working towards the pastoral. But in the seminary, you're kind of restrained a little bit in that because you're still kind of in preparation. So you're not in, you know, full-time ministry that you will be as a priest for sure, and definitely even more than normal seminarians as a deacon, you'll have those opportunities. But there's when I entered seminary, I had been very involved in a lot of youth ministry programs, some Catholic Youth Summer Camp and Net Ministries, St. Paul's Outreach. I had been a youth minister for a year. And those were all beautiful opportunities where God was using me to help others, but also he was really forming in me that vocation and helping me to answer the call. But it was really hard for me, actually, to enter seminary at first because it felt like I was doing less when I was in seminary than I was when I was out. And it took time for me to realize that if God was calling me to the priesthood, that that's a supernatural call to participate in the priesthood of Christ and to do so many amazing things, to celebrate Mass, to hear confessions. And if he was calling me to do that, then it was worth the sacrifice of seemingly doing less. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe to kind of end, I would say I would encourage anyone who is, I know a lot of wonderful young people who are giving their lives for service in the church and are volunteering at their parishes and doing many of these great things. And sometimes it can feel like, well, I don't want to go to school. I feel kind of that call to priesthood or religious life, but it feels in a sense that you're leaving ministry, but you're only leaving in order to be further equipped to be able to minister to the people of God. So it's really such a beautiful thing, even if it's
the apostles and the disciples of Jesus spent time with the Lord, and that develops a certain hunger. It does. And so if that becomes more acute in you, that's all the better. That's great. That is good. Thank you, Seth, for sharing that. I appreciate it. Yes, David, you're just holding the microphone. False alarm. Shane.
Sorry. Yeah, it's Shane again. Another thing I was thinking about is one of my formator at the Josephinum was telling me I didn't have an apostolic this semester because we missed the deadline, so I was kind of sad about that. I didn't get to practice my pastoral formation as much. But he was also saying, you know, every conversation that you enter into with the faithful is an opportunity for pastoral formation, you know. And there's actually a bit of every pillar involved in that. The intellectual, you can learn from them. The pastoral, you have sort of that fatherly or brotherly, whatever the relationship with that person. And then, of course, human, you should have good manners. And there is sort of just this ability to interact with the people every time you get to do that, especially as a seminarian. We receive so much from the people of God that you do sort of start to feel, just like Seth said, you know, kind of like left out. How can I give this back? And I know that we're all very happy whenever we get a chance to go out and interact with the people.
It's very life-giving. Good for you. Good. Good. Yes.
Hi, Joe, Bishop. Right? Joey yes. Rowling again from Resurrection. And just something I wanted to add on that's very unique about seminary life is in our studies, you know, like Seth mentioned, that we kind of have to withdraw into this kind of enclosed environment with each other to prepare for going out again into ministry. But it's a very unique situation in which in all our studies and everything we're doing at seminary, we are, in a sense, serving the people of God. So even though we're not out there in the world every day like a priest will be, by the very act of, like, you know, working hard in our studies, you know, pursuing our relationship with Jesus Christ in prayer, like every day we are, in a sense, serving the people of God by doing that. And it's a very cool, I think it's something very unique to the seminary life where your own personal pursuits and your studies and your prayer is also external in its nature when you're you're also serving the people of God by improving yourself and working hard at what you have to do.
Excellent. Thank you, Joe. Thank you. Michael.
Yes, Michael Hammerly again from St. Patrick's. This year my apostolic assignment is to do communion calls at St. Paul's in Westerville. And doing the communion calls always feels like it's a greater blessing for me than the people who I'm bringing communion to. I mean, I know they're receiving Jesus, so that's better. But but I still feel like in bringing Christ to them, they're serving me more than I'm serving them. You know, you always are, every time you give communion to someone, you always are reminded of Christ's presence in the Eucharist in a new way. And it, I find it very life-giving to bring communion to people in the nursing homes.
Good. Yes.
Just to make this quick, David, Grove yes. City again, Our Lady of Perpetual. Anyway, I think one thing that's amazing is just how all the knowledge I've acquired through my life has always seemed, even the seemingly inconsequential and useless things have actually reared themselves as useful and specific situations. And it's just that purpose, that having a taste of that, that, you know, these things that you learn are important, gives you a sort of drive and purpose to take what you do more seriously and use it for the glory of God and his people. So
excellent. Well said, David. Thank you. You know, this has been one great conversation for me. I've met most of you in individual encounters or together at the seminary, and just to be able to talk kind of seriously. We had a few laughs, I know that, but to be able to talk seriously with you inspires me. And as we get ready now for the Christmas, I'll take all of this with me as well. Maybe we'll just close with a simple prayer and give glory to God. As we say together, glory be to God, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And may God bless all gathered here. Watch over our seminarians and our church. And may God bless all who are listening to us on St. Gabriel Radio in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the 2019 Seminarian Roundtable with Bishop Robert J. Brennan on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. My name is David Martin, and on behalf of St. Gabriel Radio, we would like to thank Bishop Brennan and our seminarians for taking time out to share the joy of the gospel with our Catholic radio listeners. You can download the Seminarian Roundtable with Bishop Brennan at stgabrielradio.com or on the St. Gabriel Radio smartphone app.
One of the most terrifying experiences in life is teaching your teenager to drive. My daughter has this tendency to focus her attention right on the hood of the car. You see, she thinks that by focusing on the car itself, she'll keep it going in the right direction. Of course, there's no surer way to crash. Thankfully, she's slowly getting it. You only get where you want to go by fixing your eyes far ahead of your car. When you do that, you end up steering in the right direction. That's why worship is so important. We need a focal point that's far beyond ourselves to give us perspective and to keep our lives heading in the right direction. That focal point is the majesty and greatness of God. Try starting each day with your favorite worship song. And when you pray, don't just ask for stuff. You might end up more stressed than when you started because you sat in the presence of your problems and forgot the greatness of God. This is Chris Stefanik from RealLifeCatholic.com.